definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good morning and welcome on to the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank. Alongside David Collier, I'm Choice Woodman, in for Hacks, who is still on the road. Should be back tomorrow from Arkansas. Hopefully one win better, but won't be two wins better. Lucas White back behind the glass taking care of us. You can also hit us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your hopes, dreams, reaction to the sports day that was yesterday. Whatever you want to get in, do so on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Through that 100.7 The Score mobile app, you can take the mobile app just about anywhere with you. Even out in Slick Poo, Idaho.
Never stopped in Slick Poo.
That wasn't where you...
Not in my neck of the woods.
Set up shop?
Nope.
For, what was it, 6 months?
6 months, something like that, yeah.
6 months.
I did not get to explore that much.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you should have done more exploring and you'd have liked it more. The Statue of Liberty play while you're up there.
Hmm. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't come in.
No, that's fine.
Violence. I don't know why I did that.
You know what? I'll get you back at 11 o'clock.
At 11 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay. Are you going to be here at 11?
I don't know. We'll see.
Y'all chime in with whatever you want to on the Yates Flooring. I don't know why I did that. I wasn't trying to choose violence. I'm sorry, David.
No, you're good.
I apologize. I know your
I cannot
pokey
be
spots. I know your pokey spots and I can't even think of his name right now. Quarterback for Boise State.
I didn't even know you were talking about Boise State.
No. And then the and Sporttacular. I know those are your pokey spots, and I'm not gonna poke
gonna do
you
that,
today.
Huh?
No. Because right. I was poked hard enough myself. I'm going to get away from that phrasing.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
I had a rough go of it in sports last night with my team and the Texas Tech baseball team.
Oh, you know, speaking of names, I can't remember. What's the name of the catcher for Arkansas?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll check a press release.
I didn't see it in the press release, so I don't know his name. The Red Raiders lose last night, if you missed it, if you didn't stay up fairly late, 9-8 in walk-off. That's the worst way to lose a walk-off, right? Or even win a walk-off. That's the most anticlimactic walk-off. I don't know. Walking in a base runner is probably worse than a sack fly walk-off. But self-inflicted wounds, heard that before this year. Lack of clutch moments. Wasn't clutch hitting necessarily. You could have had a clutch hit in the ninth, but you had no clutch defense in the ninth inning this time. And
I was on the air whenever the error occurred at third. I didn't know if it was a hard hit ball that he just couldn't handle.
It was a hard hit ball that just kind of went underneath.
Yeah. Okay. See, I never watched the replay. I just know it was hard hit.
Did you see the second error?
I read about it.
Hutera.
I was on the air right when all that was happening.
His foot literally slips on the grass. Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's like, get him longer spikes.
I know we spent the majority of yesterday's show talking about how the bullpen had done its job over the last handful of weekends and didn't necessarily in those final couple of innings.
Just another frustrating one. I mean, you've got the number two team in the country on the ropes. They've only lost one game all year. They've won 24 in a row at home now.
The school record. That was it's a program record long winning streak at home.
It's unreal, and you've got a chance to end that up 7-0. I mean, that's one thing. It's college baseball, blowing a lead.
And I'm going to be honest. When it was 7-0, I still wanted more runs because it's
here.
A midweek game. Both teams are not using. It turned out, when it came towards the end, you realized how important that game was because you wanted to use the important arms in the bullpen.
Man, and I wanted no offense to Jacob Rogers, but you know what? He hadn't been your your stellar arm out of the pen. I was hoping to see Josh Sanders last
night. Yes, agreed.
And you didn't, and probably because he had him over the weekend, too many pitches. And I was really – when it was you're up one run in the eighth inning, I'm like, let's get some Josh Sanders out there.
Yes.
Because I would have felt a lot more confident. Just frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, wild pitch.
A couple of wild pitches in that game from him.
It cost you. You get it's just the little things. This team feels like they're so far away, but they're not. And that's the frustrating thing. It's like it feels like things have been going so poorly, but you're so many tiny moments away from winning several more games against good baseball teams. And I still think Texas Tech's a good team. You went up in the RPI four spots with the loss last night.
Yeah.
Doesn't make you feel better, but you did. Right now, if the postseason happened right now, you're a tournament team.
It's just all, like you said, it's all of the little things. It's, and I didn't even realize this on the broadcast because I don't even know if they referenced it. I heard Jamie talk about it. A little base running error. I wondered the same thing when it happened. Yeah. Bases were loaded, that ball gets away, and I'm like, how did Bazell not score from first with two outs? He knew that it was he was running on contact, and come to find out, I guess he had to go back and touch second because he missed it. At least that's what Jamie understood by watching it. So base running errors, fielding errors, wild pitches, hit by pitches. I mean,
and then,
just a random, like you said, slip and
slip.
Fall.
You just – it seems like this team lacks – and comparing it to previous teams, because that's the, you know, the barometer around here. You can look and see your Omaha teams and your really good teams. It seems like you lack a killer instinct. I mean, an ability to put a game away or an ability to go win a game, especially against good teams. That's what it feels like to me, is you just don't have that killer instinct to go get it. And past teams, when you've been down by a run or when you've needed to get a hit when the game's tied to go win it, it felt like you had that ability, and there was a moxie to certain teams and different leadership too.
You also got to look on the other in the other dugout too. The team
absolutely
was ranked number one in the country. They had just lost two games in a row.
Yeah,
they only have five losses all season. They were coming back home. I think the biggest.
I'm not talking about this game alone. It's not a standalone. It's a statement for the season. And again, it's a good team Texas Tech has, but we're used to expecting great teams around here, and that's the difference. There's been an expectation. There's been a standard set, but this team hasn't met that standard, whether it's fair or not, because some fans have unreal expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's a lot of frustrations, and there's no one more frustrated than the team. The coach is in that dugout, and you know what? You're going to look back to this game regardless of what happens today and say, man, you could have had another one. But you can make things feel quite a bit better if you find a way. You were close yesterday. If you can find a way to win one today against the number two team in the country, then it sure helps things coming back home.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Happy hump day. It is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score at 107thescore.com. Joyce Woodman and David Collier, yours from the First Shenandoah Bank studio. You okay over there? You want to share with class?
I'm writing it. I'm not.
I'm
prompting haikus to ChatGPT.
Okay, what is ChatGPT? Is this just AI?
You've never heard of ChatGPT?
Yes, but I've never used it.
Yes, it's AI.
It's just AI, okay.
Yeah, so I'm having it write haikus about everybody in the studio.
Oh, gosh.
I haven't done yours yet. I'm horrible at reading these things. That's the problem. Let me do the other one. I'm gonna do one for both people, and then I want you guys to figure out. Maybe we'll do can you name the person?
The person it's
by
about?
By the haiku,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So give me a second to do the. I've already done one for one individual in this.
So you want to hold on to it?
Yes, hold on to it for a minute. I mean,
we'll get to it in a moment.
I'll let my writers work on it.
That's fine. We do have this, some Tears of 12. Two sub 12.
Who's going first?
Whoever you want. It's your show, so you dive in. So, by the way, there's a reason.
There are 16 behind teams.
There are 16 teams in the Big 12 next year. The reason we're bringing this up, I've seen two different coaches' rankings in the
last
couple of
weeks. I saw
one
last week.
Okay. The last couple of weeks, I've seen two different. I've seen Yahoo Sports put out a Big 12 coaches list, and I've seen On3 Sports put out a
I think it was the On3 one.
Big 12 coaches list. And off of this, I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. I'm curious how ours differ from their lists. And this, we're just ranking, tearing out the Big 12 coaches for next season. Now that you got 16 of them, 16 in the league.
This is really hard to do, a lot harder than I imagined, because we've got so many new faces.
Agreed.
And not only new faces, but not only new faces because of new teams in the league, but new faces to the league.
Yeah.
And in some cases, both.
It's yours to go.
All right. I'm horrible at tiering them with cool names, but I'll just, like I told you during the break, mine is a ham sandwich.
Okay.
And at the bottom of the ham sandwich, I guess the soggy piece of the bread, if you will, Kenny Dillingham.
Right.
Arizona State. I think he's just got a tough situation there.
I think you're on a few of these. You're going to be revealing to some of our listeners who these guys are.
Yeah, right. I know.
We're like learning as we go.
Especially the bottom of this. Well, yeah, a handful of these guys on the bottom.
Yep.
And I don't. I struggle to call this an actual tier, but it's. I mean, the bottom three are probably in their own little group of I'm just not impressed with. Scott Satterfield would be at 15 from Cincinnati. I know that they won the game. I don't think they would have won the game had there been a healthy quarterback. Kalani Sitake at BYU. I just think he might be in over his head.
Okay.
In the Big 12. The next tier would be new faces but have had success where they were before, that being Brent Brennan. At Arizona, he comes into what was probably a good situation beforehand until Jed Fish left, and Jed Fish would probably be a little bit higher on this list.
Oh, yeah.
But Brent Brennan won three bowl games at San Jose State. He might need to be higher, but we don't know enough about him in the conference, so he's at 13.
That's fair.
Willie Fritz at Houston is at 12. Tulane, don't know much about him. This is maybe the Collier Spite tier. I have Sonny Dykes at 11.
Interesting.
Right behind Deion Sanders. And why is that?
Because they're spite towards
Because
both?
Deion Sanders beat Sonny Dykes and started this whole train. Right? Okay. So Deion at 10, maybe a little too high in my book. 9, Neil Brown, and I kind of struggled in the middle of this pack here, the meat of the ham sandwich, if you will. 8, I've got Joey McGuire there. Easily can move up, but I think all of the people in front of him have done more at this point.
Better credentials, yeah.
Yeah. 7, Matt Campbell. He's probably dropped a handful of spots since, a couple of years ago?
Sure.
Brock Purdy era, Breece Hall era. Dave Aranda might be a little too high on this, but for some reason they're recruiting well right now. He's won a Big 12 championship. He's proven he can do it. I know a lot of people here think it's all the guy that coaches here now, but they're recruiting now. And
so far.
Well, they're doing a good job recruiting despite a tough season. 5, Lance Leipold, the Kansas tier, if you will. Chris Klieman at 4. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Gus Malzahn, good situation. A lot of, he's clearly won before, and I think UCF is primed to be pretty good in this conference. 2, Mike Gundy, and we finish out the ham sandwich with Kyle Whittingham.
I don't hate your list.
The middle could use some work.
Oh, but. I think there's so much room for movement. It's all about your
personal preference.
Yeah, personal preferences and what your criteria are. For me, I did this based off of both what have you done in your career, but also how I would project these guys. Because I think some of these guys have done okay, but I would project them lower, and vice versa, that they're still some that haven't hit their peak yet. 16, I've got this bottom tier are the guys that will eventually be fired from their jobs.
Yeah.
16, Kenny Dillingham. 15, Brent Brennan. So the two Arizonas there. 14, Scott Satterfield. The next tier is, I don't know what to think of you, but you hadn't been good yet, or that good. That's Deion Sanders at 13. I got to see something at this level.
Yeah.
And yes, he's got players and he can recruit, but he also runs off a ton of people. And the turnover in college football is way different than the turnover in college basketball.
Yeah.
It's easier to mesh 12 guys together than it is to mesh 75 guys together. So I got Deion at 13, Kalani Sitake at 12. I think Kalani Sitake's a good coach. I don't know how well it's going to work out at BYU. Then I've got the tier of these two guys did it one time, and that's it. That's why they're so low. They had one really good season. That's Sonny Dykes at 11. Is that where you had him?
I had Sonny Dykes at 11, yeah.
Yeah. And then,
but again, that was the spite tier.
Dave Aranda at 10. Both of them have done it one time. Dave Aranda had one fantastic season. Sonny Dykes had one fantastic season, even more fantastic. Was one game away from winning a national title. But I think that's it for both of them. At number 9, this is almost all projection-based, Willie Fritz. I actually think he's going to have some success at Houston. I think what he did at Tulane was rather impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he is the best of the new hires in the last couple of years. Number 8, I don't feel great about putting this guy there, but this is almost all based off of last season. Neil Brown, I think he's a middle-of-the-road coach. I think his fan base will turn on him immediately if they have a poor season this year. So I don't know how long Neil Brown's lasting.
Yeah.
But I got Neil Brown at 8.
That's what's so weird about Neil Brown. If we would have done this last year, he would have been 15, 14. Yeah. 14,
yeah. Yeah. Completely agree. Number 7, Joey McGuire. I think there's room for upside, but based off of first two seasons, he's right in the middle of the pack. 6, Matt Campbell. Like you said, could be higher on this list. Probably was higher on this list a few years ago, but I think he's hit a plateau. I mean, he's missed 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
Good season or bad season. When you expect him to be worse, he's going to be 7-5. When you expect him to be better, they're going to be 7-5.
Yep. So,
7, 6, and 5. Gus Malzahn, I've got at 5. I think those are in that next group of looking to break through. And then the elite coaches of the Big 12, I've got Lance Leipold at 4. What he's done at Kansas, no one has been able to do.
I agree.
Just, he's got to be in that grouping. Chris Klieman has kept K-State consistent. He's at 3. I got Kyle Whittingham at 2 and Mike Gundy at 1, and that's just because of what I've seen up close. Honestly, they are the same coach. You look at their history, Whittingham and Gundy, they have done the exact same thing. They're two of the most tenured coaches in college football. Both have had their teams in and out of top 15, top 10, but neither of them have taken the big next step to get into a playoff.
I went solely on hair, and Kyle Whittingham has much better hair than Mike Gundy.
I think that's actually
better
criteria.
Look at Kenny Dillingham's hair. Now you'll know why he's 16.
He's 16. So the whole list was hair-based, huh?
Well, Dave Aranda probably wouldn't have made the list.
No, probably not.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Onward to hour number 2. It is the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank. Alongside David Collier, I'm Choice Woodman. We got Lucas White across the way taking care of us. Keep hitting us up. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, hopes, dreams, whatever you got, bring it all in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. You can locate that chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. She could take anywhere with you, even listen in tight squeeze, Virginia, if you so choose. We'll get back to some Tech baseball, some football thoughts. There's a picture of David Collier.
What?
Crossed with Mike Gundy.
Oh, gosh.
I think this look works for you. Can you please go mullet for us?
I mean, the hair looks. I've had hair like that before.
I've seen your kid with a mullet. I haven't seen you with a mullet.
No mullet anymore, dude. He's got a perm.
I know. What? Oh, yeah. You told me that.
Yeah. He was at the meet last night. He was not competing, but he was working the meet.
I didn't see him. Okay. I wish I would have seen the short perm guy. Not the only one.
I know.
I've seen the perm.
That's what he thinks, though.
So. Man. Yeah, you should really go with this mullet look. I think it would work for David Gundy. Before we get back to some of the other stuff, David has a treat of haikus for us.
Oh, I do have a couple of haikus.
Please do share.
I was going to do an entire list, but I have three of them here. You already know one of them, but we'll start with this one.
Okay.
Again, I'm horrible at reading these. That's the problem. I just read it. Thomas Bow Legends, White Sox Glory Days Echo, Fans Heart Nostalgic. That would be when Jeff McGuire's inability to cheer for a team that's won anything. I know they've won something since then, but who remembers that? All right.
I really had to do a double take when he said 2005. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you forgot about that, right?
They beat the Astros. Everybody did.
Teams Beckon, Allure. Choices Evade, Fandom Scattered, Hearts Loyalty Lost.
Do it again.
Teams Beckon, Allure, Choices Evade, Fandom Scattered, Hearts Loyalty Lost.
That's Lucas cheering for a bunch of other teams.
That would be 100% correct. I think I put something in there along the lines of, and it didn't even get into this, but...
It took me a couple takes, but I'm like, oh.
There was another one that was better. Write a haiku about a guy that has trouble picking a favorite team, so he has too many. That's right. I initially did one where he might have a bit of a gambling problem.
I thought that was me because I was thinking when San Diego moved to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fans didn't.
Are you still? You're still Chargers, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Let's see. Where was the? I did one where. Okay, it says teams swarm, bets abound, fans allegiance scattered dreams, odds stacked, heart adrift. That was your gambling one. This one's too easy to figure out. Morning baths embrace, referee disdain, wealth's gleam. Green gold loyalties theme.
Please stop it. It sounds like someone that loves baths and Baylor, but I only love one of those things.
A rich guy that has a dislike for referees and a secret allegiance to a green and gold team that enjoys morning baths.
I love referees, but gosh dang it, can we get robot umpires? How many freaking calls went the way of the home team last night? Like, how many calls behind the plate?
Yeah, there were a couple of high strikes.
Yeah,
that were
strikes. I mean,
that went for Tech.
Oh, there were several that went against Tech.
There we go.
Referee
hate over there.
I just want consistency. That's what I ask for. And behind the plate, like. College baseball. Well,
if
college
anything,
baseball
I think
is jacked up.
One of those double plays on the catcher, the catcher for Arkansas, one of the double plays that turned into a fielder's choice. They reviewed the first one. I thought that was an out at first.
Okay.
So that was just as bad as any missed call.
Okay.
I mean.
Yeah. I didn't want. I wasn't watching at that point. Yeah. I was just following on the phone because I was.
I mean, even Carl Ravitch and Kyle Peterson were like, "What am I missing here?"
Yeah. So, I don't know. I want the robot strike zones. It is coming for Major League Baseball. Now, what version? I don't know. Whether it's the challenge system or just straight up balls and strikes for everything, but I'm ready for it.
We talked about that on Monday some, but I'm on board with the minor league tap your
helmet.
I like
that. Yeah, it's such a quick thing that the way they've got it going in the minor leagues, I'm all for that. I'm fine with going all the way through though and let it all call balls and strikes. A few from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Here's a haiku. Where'd it go? That game really sucked. I hate Arkansas so much, somebody kill me. I know got too dark, less depressing versions wouldn't fit five syllables, so I went full wedding singer. And I thank you for it. That was a great haiku.
Yes, much better than ChatGPT.
Somebody kill me. And that game really did suck, and I hate Arkansas. Arkansas is like top five teams I hate the most that are outside of rivals for Tech. That's just, it's there. It's the pig suey chant. It's the,
like, I don't like Dave Van Horn very much.
I don't like him.
And I think it was an interaction. There was one point at the College World Series when Van Horn and Tim were up on the podium, and they do an interview with all four coaches, I guess, in that at one time for some reason. And when Tim started talking, basically Van Horn like rolled his eyes like, oh, here we go with the aw shucks bit, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, shut up, dude.
No, Van Horn, like Arkansas in the last decade plus has largely had coaches that are very dislikable. I mean, Eric Musselman, very much in that camp. Now he's gone and you get Calipari.
Yeah.
Pretty easy to hate on. Brett Bielema, goodness gracious. Very easy to...
the guy they have now, Sam Pittman's very likable, unfortunately. Yeah, he's very losable as well.
That one doesn't fit as well, but I wasn't going to bring him up because he didn't fit my...
Well, he might not be there that much longer
anyway.
That's
true. They'll go get someone else that's dislikable. I hear this Tom Herman guy still on the market. If Arkansas wants to go get him, wouldn't that be great? Going from Texas firing to... All right, Choice, your curse struck again yesterday, not 30 seconds after you said the Rangers are tied and could get extra innings to delay Tech Talk. Hopefully not, though. Detroit scored the go-ahead run. Thanks again for nothing. My bad. I was just joking towards Clint, but I'll take that one.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
That's right. Award-winning End of the Bench. I get to be graced by you guys' presence here.
I don't know that I had anything to do with that.
I think you're the title, right? This is the End of the Bench with David Collier and Jeff Haxton. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I don't think so.
Your name's alphabetically first.
Alphabetically, okay. Oh, I got it. Yeah.
It counts.
It's only fair.
I'm Choice in for Hax this morning. Y'all keep your thoughts, your comments, your questions coming in. We'll talk more baseball, get into a lot of different things over the next hour and a half. Ask the Benchwarmers, an hour and 15 minutes away. Collier has the question. Just kidding. Lucas has some questions here in a moment. You should see that. That was a balk.
Yeah.
Sorry, move them over.
Yep.
A couple of questions on the chat line in a moment. But you know what? Just kind of semi-impromptu. Let's we are a week and a day away from the End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line. We're 1 week and 1 day away from that. So I think it's a good time to reveal some odds. Horse odds have been posted. Pole positions have been posted for our horses. In the third annual End of the Bench Derby presented by The Bottom Line. Going off.
Do we have any cool like horse music?
Horse music. Horse name.
You know, derby music.
That'd be a good question. I don't know. I didn't tell Lucas we were doing this.
Way to go.
Going off in the 13th position and leading the pack, Tobacco Enema is the favorite to win.
Yeah, that's a good one.
3-1 odds. Tobacco Enema, 3-1 odds. At 4-1 odds, we have both Chuck Haight's New Home.
That one's going to win. No.
And Barnyard Pimp. Those are both 4-1 odds. Next on the list at 6-1 odds, in the sixth position, Air Biscuit. Air Biscuit has the fourth best odds. At 7-1 odds. Nope, that's a lie. It goes from 6-1 to 15-1. There are two different horses at 15-1. Road Pickle and Buttercrotch. Road Pickle, Buttercrotch.
That's unfortunate.
four different horses come in at 20-1 odds. That's Big Sweaty Cuban,
okay,
Hippo Chrissy, Hobbit XXL, and Meat Sock.
Meat Sock.
Hippo Chrissy.
Hippo Chrissy. I'm a fan of Hippo Chrissy.
That was just Chuck trying to read the word hypocrisy.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
It's pretty good. That was Jamie's golden buzzer horse. So those are all your 20-1 horses. We've got four different horses at 30-1 odds. Chatline Tourette's, Waffle Taco, shout out Collier,
yeah,
Humpback Gladiator, and Molested Goose. All of those coming in at 30-1 odds. And then several horses at 50-1 odds. All tied for the bottom, but 50-1 odds for Biblical Battery, Kerwinescence or Kerwinescence, well, however you want to pronounce it. We'll see how our...
I just want him to pronounce it. That's all I care.
Kerwinescence. Chicken and Drugs at 50-1. Balls of Greatness, 50-1. Hibachi Sadness and Humpty Doo Mate. All of those 50-1 odds.
If I can vote like a million times for Humpty Doo Mate, I'm going to get it as high as
possible. Humpty Doo Mate. I wonder if when Clint does this, he's going to pause for that one. Humpty Doo Mate. Is that who you want to win? Who's your, like, I want this horse to win?
Humpty Doo Mate.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, I'm totally fine if Waffle Taco doesn't win. I really think Tobacco Enema. I don't want Chuck Hates New Home to win.
You don't want
that?
No,
I do not want. I don't want Chuck to win.
Well, that is...
I know he doesn't win in this situation, but I don't want him to win.
Oh, he wants that one to win the least. So
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I don't want the frustration to build there. I'm totally fine with that one.
My ones that I would want to win the most are Barnyard Pimp, Big Sweaty Cuban. I like Humpback Gladiator. I like Hibachi Sadness.
I like Hibachi Sadness.
That was one of the very first names.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, we were doing like the Olympics on that, and I ate way too much hibachi that night as we went to do penalty kicks against Kyler. And yeah, I didn't do so hot.
I vaguely remember that.
So frustrating. All right, Lucas, he's got the questions.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for Burning Questions.
What is the best bank robbery movie that you can think of?
Oh, man. I don't...
Is Dog Day Afternoon's a bank robbery movie, right?
Sure. I haven't seen it, so... Can it just be any sort of heist? Because it's not a bank robbery, but it is robbing money. The Italian Job. I loved that one. With
the little Mini Coopers.
All the little Mini Coopers. Wahlberg, Jason Statham. Who is the most deaf? Isn't that? I liked that one. I'm trying to think of other ones. I mean, there's the casino robbery ones with the however many... Oceans movies there are.
Yeah, it'd probably be an Oceans movie. Even
What's your
that's
favorite?
That's more of a casino robbery, but still.
What's your favorite?
I like the Ocean movies. I know it's not like, it's kind of like the, what is it, Ocean 11?
Ocean's 11.
The original is 11, yeah.
Right.
That's the only one I've seen.
I know it's not like a big part of the whole movie, but I mean, obviously, Batman started off with the bank heist.
Yeah, I was about to say that one does count, right? Dark Knight, Hell or High Water. That's a really good one. Did you ever see it?
No.
The one that's set here in West Texas.
No.
That one might be my answer.
I'm sticking with Dog Day After.
Hell or High Water. The Town with Affleck is pretty good too. Okay, go on.
You get to take one coworker from here to the thrift shop and dress him up as you wish for a day. Who are you taking and what are you buying him to wear for the day?
I think I am going to go with, I never have anything thought of this quickly, Clint I'm going to take Clint because I know that there's not going to be a pair of pants that will be long enough to fit him.
I was about to say, well.
So some kind of like, this is probably a normal attire for him when he's on the stage singing, but like some kind of corduroy pants, maybe velvet, like maroon, purple, crushed velvet type thing. Some kind of like horizontally striped wife beater type tank top, ridiculously tight. What else? Some kind of open-toed, like, sandal or something like that.
But, I used to think Clint already dresses like he's from a thrift.
No, that's why it made it easy.
Yeah.
So immediately, I...
That's a good answer. I actually think I'd want to take Chuck, just so he'd look down at all the peasants in the thrift shop.
That's true, too. He was like, choice, I had that suit in 1963.
Yeah, he would not want to touch any of those suits. I might have
aged him a little much there. I apologize.
63? I bet he was born in 63.
Sorry, I was thinking of Ron Roberts. Born. My bad.
Oh, that's even better. Take more than one shot at a time. Yeah, Chuck's my answer.
Chuck is your answer.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because you could put something on Chuck that he would like. Clint wouldn't care. He would be part of the bit.
He would look like he's.
Chuck would be embarrassed to wear something out of that thrift store.
Mm-hmm. No question, it'd be fine.
Is there any dipping sauce or condiment that you would put on a pizza that you normally would not do for $1,000? Like, I saw a photo of pizza covered in peanut butter.
Yeah, I did see that.
So you're saying $1,000 you wouldn't touch?
You would eat it.
Would you eat peanut butter on pizza?
Yeah.
Like, complete, like, and not just a peanut butter pizza, but peanut butter on top of cheese and pepperoni and all sauce. That just.
Peanut butter is strong enough that it can taste good with most. So, yes, I would. So is there anything I wouldn't touch?
Yeah.
The juice out of a black olive can.
Wow, that's very odd. But you would pour that Vienna sausage juice.
Yeah, that'd be all right on there. That'd actually be pretty good.
For $1,000, I'll basically eat anything.
If you covered it in hummus, I'm probably out too.
That's tough. Yeah, that hummus is rough. I don't know if I can handle that.
That'd be pretty rough. All right, we might sneak a dad joke in. We got a secret word of the day on the way on 100.7 Score.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is time for Ask the Benchwarmers. Pour your questions in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line. That's the easiest route. You can tweet us at 107 The Score or dial us up if you want to go to the front of the line on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. He's Jeff McGuire. I'm Choice Woodman. Lucas White across the way. Questions for any and all of us are welcome. On the chat line. Handful of questions in on the chat line. Someone also said that there's a younger brother for Federico.
Nice.
If you want to get him too.
I'm all about keeping the family in the Red Raiders. So, yeah.
Someone is wrong.
As soon as Zach Thomas has some kids that are playing football, I think he's got daughters. That'd be very hard for them to play football. But again, kids that play football, yes. Scholarships.
Someone said someone is wrong. Kid only shot 43% from the free throw line. Not great. Yeah, you're going to have to coach that up then. Benchwarmers, when the Rangers get to July, August, we're supposed to have a ton of pitchers come back. With that in mind, who would y'all like to see as the starters? Well, I want to see Jack Leiter tomorrow first before I judge that. And, you know, a little bit of Jack Leiter is going to make his major league debut as the starter tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm excited to see that. Don't know what to expect necessarily. He's a rookie. Scherzer at full health. Obviously, he's in the mix.
DeGrom, full health? When he's good, when he's healthy, he's fantastic.
If we get the caveat of full health there, which doesn't really go with the name Jacob DeGrom very much.
Truth in that.
If he's full health, absolutely want to see him and Scherzer. In your rotation. Nathan Eovaldi, no question there. John Gray's been really good for you. I don't have a problem with John Gray being in the mix.
And Dane Dunning.
And Dane Dunning, yeah. I think that's
there's
the,
your five.
I think that's the five. And there's been other guys. Haney's been really good, but Haney has the ability to go out of the bullpen, as does Dunning. I think if you get those arms healthy, then the Rangers vault to one of the true contenders to win again. I mean, if you get Scherzer and DeGrom back, the Rangers turn into one of your top five teams to win the World Series again. But again, that's a major if.
If DeGrom, and
then we don't even know what Jack Leiter does. If Jack Leiter steps in and tears it up, he's awesome. Then that that becomes awesome as well. So
what
we'll
did
see.
You do?
I said I want robot strike zones, and Snead didn't care for it. So that's why I'm sure he'll talk about it, and you get to hear him.
Now I know what we're talking about for 40 minutes today. Cool.
Do you want robot strike zones?
I don't know that I want robo strike zones. I loved the. The challenge.
I'm okay with the challenge.
That video. That was fantastic.
I'm okay with the challenge stuff, but that's still a form of robot strike zones. If that's where we start, great with it. I just want
to
get it right.
I can't tell you how impressed I was with that video.
Yeah.
And I've done some more research.
One video. There's plenty
of videos. Yeah, I've done some more looking at it and how fast it is and who can issue those challenges. Yeah, it's.
I think Rob Manfred said we will have some form of robot strike zones, automated strike zones. By 2025, so within the next
does it mean
seasons.
We get rid of Angel Hernandez?
Gosh, man, I don't. The fact that he has a job tells us that there is not a stronger union in America than the Major League Baseball Umpires Union. It's unreal. Benchwarmers, if Tech wins today, how many more wins till we're secure for the postseason?
Okay, so
pull up a schedule. If you win today, it really vaults
that really
your RPI.
Helps. That really, really helps, mm-hmm. and. Even a loss today doesn't hurt your chances.
No, you moved up. What are we at today? Four spots in the RPI. So from
32?
I think that is correct.
West Virginia will help your RPI being a top 25 team.
Okay.
New Mexico's going to hurt you with it being a home game.
Correct.
Then you've got Kansas, Big 12 foe, the kind of a push, more of a hurt than a help, but it's a push. So let's say two against Kansas.
But they're on the road.
Let's say two against Kansas that you need to win. You've then got UT RGV at Dan Law Field, so that's going to hurt.
Who just beat Texas last night in Austin.
Right. Then you got Oklahoma at home. There's four. I think you got to win that series. Take one in Stillwater. There's five. Arizona State would be six. UNLV would be seven. Arizona State again. I think you could split Arizona State. So seven? Is that fair, like a fair number?
No. No, I think you need about nine more wins. You need to win the series against West Virginia. I think you've got to win your home series, even though they're against the better teams in the league. So two
with
against
a win today.
Two against West Virginia, one against New Mexico, one out of three at Kansas. That's four wins. UTRGV, that's five. Two out of three against OU, that's seven. One at OSU, that's eight. And then if you take one out of three against Arizona State, UNLV or Arizona State,
okay,
that's nine. I think to feel secure, he said secure. If you
okay,
win
yeah,
today.
As in opposed to just didn't. Sure, okay. Yeah,
if
I got
you win
you,
today,
yeah.
I think you need nine more in
that's
addition
fair.
To it. Really, 10 would be better, but. To feel pretty good about your postseason chances.
I don't feel bad about your postseason chances, as we said today.
If the season ended today, you would be in.
Now.
32 RPI.
You're not hosting, which is what we're used to.
Yeah.
You'll probably either be a low two, high three, mm-hmm. as we sit today. That's not a great position to be in, as for where these rankings are. But, like we've been saying all year, this isn't a bad baseball team.
Yeah. Agreed.
They're not a great baseball team. But they're not a bad baseball team.
They're in between. They're if you want to call them average, that's okay.
I'd call them above average.
They're good. It's a good baseball team. You got 26 wins on the year.
Is it a frustrating baseball team? Sure. No argument.
I think that you're a good 100%. Team that's been bordering on great, but you can't win the tight games and you can't beat the good competition and you've struggled on the road. So it's a maddening baseball team, but there's quite a few of those out there. Benchwarmers, do you have a current target you want to see Tech get from the portal? I'm assuming we're talking about basketball here because you had two football players enter the portal that's not great yesterday. You had two running backs, Bryson Donnell and Anquan Willis go in.
You know what that tells me?
What does that tell you?
That Valdez has had a good spring.
Oh, I think him coming back, yeah, absolutely.
And that they've really worked with him this spring. And
well, I think Willis is the one that I really don't like losing. He's a former four-star and would have been more involved this year, but I think you're exactly right. I think Valdez deciding to come back, and he kind of came back late in the process last
fall. Yeah, and entered the portal first. Entered the portal, played the bowl game, and then decided to come back.
I think if you're asking me realistic options from the basketball portal, I think that's where that question was going.
I didn't look at the names.
I think the one I would go for is Brendan Housen, the kid from Amarillo that's in from Villanova. I think that's
okay.
A semi-realistic option. The Richie Saunders kid from BYU, wouldn't hate that. I like shooters. Like guys that can put the ball in the bucket.
I like makers.
Both of those guys.
We've had some shooters. I'd like to see some makers.
Both of those guys can shoot and make. So I say that. You got two pretty good shooters on your roster still with Kerwin Walton and Chance McMillan. So you don't need just shooters. I think Housen can score from both levels. And he didn't get a lot of play at Villanova. So be fine with him. The Dallin Hall kid, also from BYU. These are just guys I'm familiar with. I'm sure there's plenty of other guys in conversations that McCasland is chatting with. So, not sure. Those are just some of the guys that I wouldn't mind seeing. There's been a couple of Longhorns go in recently. I don't want them. If they landed on the roster, would it be okay with it? Probably. Dylan Mitchell. Definitely don't want Tyrese Hunter. Please, no. Just keep away from him. It's his third landing spot. Yeah, would rather avoid that. But the Nick Pringle kid from Alabama, he just went in the portal. Wouldn't mind him, but I have no idea what connections are. There's 1,500 guys in the portal. So take your pick. It's all about where relationships are already established with Coach McCasland and his staff and how that works. So, there you go. Jeff, I'll let you hang around. I think I'm going to bounce here.
You're going to go eat pizza is what you're going to do.
Probably so.
And you know what? I support that endeavor.
Thank you. We'll have a abbreviated edition of The Bottom Line coming up.
And apparently an upset Sneed, thanks to you. So, I appreciate
he'll
that.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. No worries with him.
I mean, just say, I love it when I have to deal with an upset Sneed because of somebody else's actions.
Astros and Braves will be coming up at 12:40. That's why we have the abbreviated bottom line. So hang around. And we'll have Astros Braves after that. Some Tech baseball later this afternoon against Arkansas. For Jeff McGuire, David Collier, Lucas White, I'm Choice Woodman. It's been the End of the Bench on 100.7 The Score.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.